up.
Their love affair begins in secret.
Couldn't believe that Troy would put himself in that situation with a married woman.
And when this romance turns into marriage, they'll push the limits of love.
She honestly thought he was her soulmate, that she finally found the one that she'd been looking for in her past.
But true love can sometimes lead to outright war.
She was not somebody to be trifled with. She was not going to take no for an answer.
You know, that's a thing that guys do. They punch walls when they get mad.
There was $248,000 there. People have been murdered for a whole lot less than that.
Love may be blind and marriage bliss, but divorce is murder. Havana, a river town in central Illinois. Once a hotbed for vice, known as Little Chicago. Today's Havana is a quieter place, where Troy Patton is born and raised and feels right at home.
Troy spent his whole life there. I think he probably rode his bicycle on every street in that town when he was growing up. And he loved it there. Everybody pretty much knows everybody.
And everybody knows Troy Patton. At 32, Troy's a well-liked truck driver for Havana's favorite soft drink.
He went around to the bars, the stores, the convenience stores, and he delivered products.
He liked it. That's how he met so many people and why so many people loved him, you know. You could be in the worst mood, and he could come in and he'd wind up having you smiling by the time he left. He had a twinkle in his eye and a crooked little grin that everybody just kind of fell in love with.
Day in, day out. 33-year-old Janine DeFord is no exception. She lives in the neighboring community of Lewistown, just 12 miles from Havana, where she works as a nursing assistant at a combined nursing home and mental health facility.
He delivered where she worked, and they kind of got to know each other and became friends a little bit. Cheers.
Janine's a party girl and connects with Troy right away.
They both knew how to have fun. You know, both of them would laugh and crack jokes, and they liked to go out, and they liked to have a good time with each other.
She was cute and attractive, and he was attracted to her.
They both had similar characteristics. They were both strong, independent, hardworking, loving, go out of their way to do anything for anybody.
They also go out of their way to keep the nature of their relationship hush-hush. With good reason, as Troy's friends learn to their surprise after meeting Janine.
I believe it was a Friday evening, and she got off of work early. And she came over to our house.
Well, I come over and we sat around, drank a few beers, and got to know her. And then at the last minute, she had to go.
Classic delivery.
Oh, I gotta go. I am so sorry. I gotta get back. Yeah.
All right.
Have a good night, okay?
She had locked her keys in her car.
What's wrong?
So I tried to go in the house and get a coat hanger, try to help her out.
Locked my keys in the car again?
Then the next thing, we heard a shatter of glass, and we walk outside, and the back passenger side window was completely busted out.
Well, then I realized what was going on then. I put the two to two together.
Janine's in a rush to return home to her husband, a police officer in the next county.
She was married, and she had to get home to her kids. We couldn't believe that Troy would put himself in that situation with a married woman.
That's when I asked Troy about it, you know. How are you doing this? As far as she's still married and top it all off to a cop, it's not good.
Yeah. Look, she's going to leave him. It's just complicated. Got kids, so.
If she cares that much for you, she should have done left him well before you're getting to this stage. I think he put it as more, well, it's coming. She's just trying to find the right time.
Psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser and forensic psychologist Brian Russell are concerned about a relationship that begins in secret and that's based on deception.
The adjectives that come to mind for me when I think about Troy and the fact that he would date a married woman is that he's somebody who's reckless and impulsive.
There is infidelity at the very beginning of this relationship, and it is absolutely idiocy to get involved with a married person, because if they will cheat with you, they will cheat on you. One of the foundational pillars of a healthy relationship is honesty. So when you start a relationship with a giant lie like an affair, you've got a shaky foundation right from the get-go.
But Troy and Janine are serious about making this work. And in the fall of 2003, fresh from her second divorce, Janine tells her kids about Troy.
She told us that, and that he had two daughters, and that they were both kind of around my age, and that he was really loving, and he was really fun to be around, and it was never a dull moment. So I was really excited.
And Troy brings Janine out to meet the family.
My mom asked if I wanted to go to one of Troy's oldest daughter's birthday party, and I said, sure, I guess. I mean, so we went there, and that was the first time that I actually met him, and it was really, like, laid back, and it was really nice, and he tried to incorporate my little brother and I into the birthday party, even though we didn't know anybody there.
Troy buys a second, larger home in Havana for the two of them and their combined families.
Welcome to your new home.
We had a big family room and a big, huge dining table where we would eat every night, and we would go and then watch TV in one of the living rooms, and it was really nice. It was three bedrooms. My little brother had his own. I had my own. And then my mom and Troy had their own bedroom. And then when the girls stayed, they would just stay in my bedroom.
Troy and Janine believe three bedrooms for six people will be enough because they both have shared custody of the kids with their previous partners. And at first, everyone hits it off.
His girls were pretty much like my sisters. They were my best friends. I could tell them everything, and they would be right there for me. If I called them, they would be there for me.
Yeah. How would you like to come to a wedding tonight?
Just over a year after they move in together, Janine and Troy make a snap decision.
He called me on a Saturday morning at 10:30, I think it was. He said, Mom, what are you doing tonight? He said, do you want to go to a wedding? And I said, who's getting married? He said, me and Janine. And I said, well, thanks for the 10-hour warning.
Yeah, I'll see you tonight then, all right?
But this one...
Okay, we'll see you tonight.
I was in shock. We all were.
Us children didn't actually know about it at first. They just kind of went off and did it, and they came home and were like, we're married.
They have a pressing reason to get hitched.
The reason that wedding was so rushed is because she had some medical issues and she didn't have any insurance.
She needed to have some surgery and needed to be on his insurance. So that's why it happened so fast. But it was going to happen. I think they were in love. I really believe they were in love that night.
So in love that 6 months later, they renew their vows in a ceremony hosted by Troy's dad and his stepmother.
I think they wanted to let us know that they're serious. I think they wanted just to bring both of our families together and make it as one.
The family comes from far and wide, including Troy's brother from Iceland.
I came back. I came back and surprised everybody for the renewal of his vows, which I really wanted to do this because I'd missed everything else. It was a good family reunion, too, while we were there. So seemed to be everybody was really enjoyed it. You know, I felt like it was a good start.
He loved her. I know he did. And I think she started out loving him. I did.
They were the happiest. My mom would always used to tell me that he was the one that she honestly thought he was her soulmate, that she finally found the one that she'd been looking for in her past. I was so happy for her and happy that somebody was actually there for her to, like, take care of her and take care of my little brother and I.
Let's get some food.
They were always laughing, cracking jokes. We would go camping. A lot of good memories.
Married life seems to suit Troy and Janine, both as a family and as a couple. And they're about to discover that what doesn't kill them makes them stronger.
It was a weekend they didn't have the kids, and they wanted to go get a rubber tube and go down the Mackinac River. And that's a wicked river. They were going down, floating on their rubber inner tube, and there was a log jam across it. And when they got to the log jam, they couldn't go any farther, but the current was so strong that it was trying to pull them under. And it pulled the inner tube away from them, and it pulled Troy's shorts off of them. That's how strong it was. And they were just holding on. And at one point, Janine said, "Troy, just let me go and save yourself."
But Troy won't leave Janine for anything.
It took them more than an hour holding on to those logs and inching their way to the bank to get out of that water. They made it to the shore, and then they had like a mile or two to walk back through the brambles, you know, to get to their vehicle where they left it.
To hear them tell the story, just hanging on to every word that they both said and how scary it was for them, and again, confirmed for me that my brother, you know, truly did love her. He risked his life to save her.
He would have lost hold. He would have went after, and they would have both drowned. You know, I was in tears just thinking about it.
To outsiders, it looks like smooth sailing ahead, but there's a storm on the horizon.
You screwed up. I don't know.
He would get frustrated, get mad.
I mean, she would just go to the nuclear option in any situation so she could prevail and get her way.
Janine and Troy Patton's relationship begins in secret. But when they finally divorce their spouses and tie the knot, they're both confident that this time it's for keeps. And for a while, it's one big happy family.
He's always good with the kids. And that he used to take Janine's son with him on the truck route, and he just loved it.
They got along perfect. Troy treated him as if he was his own son. I mean, he didn't have any other son. He only had two daughters, so it was like a dream come true for him.
I think Brady, you know, really bonded with both of the girls and liked having them there.
We would just hang out at home, watch movies. I mean, we fought sometimes, yes, but it was just like a regular sleepover.
As summer turns to fall, tensions develop over sharing three bedrooms between six people.
What are you doing?
There was one time we went down, and Troy said that Janine was upset because she didn't want his girls sleeping in Brady's bedroom.
Are you planning on sleeping here? You're not sleeping here. This is not your room.
My brother, no doubt, loved both of her kids. And I believe they both loved him dearly. And you could see that, and you could sense that. Janine, on the other hand, I always felt was maybe a little more jealous of my brother's girls. She, I don't think, bonded with them near like Troy bonded with her kids.
Still, the dust settles, and the family settles into a routine. The new house has put a strain on their finances, but Troy focuses on work, while Janine takes care of the money.
Troy just left that all up to Janine. He let her write the checks and pay the bills.
Because Troy was a pushover, Janine was a control freak. She liked to have control, and Troy just let her. He trusted her. He believed in her.
Janine isn't just taking an interest in the bills. She's also taking an interest in the woman who delivers the bills, the mail carrier.
Hey.
Who happens to be Troy's ex-wife, Lisa.
They became quite good friends. For some reason,
you know, they would call each other on the phone, or, you know, I think they met up with each other. I kind of thought it was just because of the kids at first.
Janine was into tattoos and piercing, and she got her right nipple pierced. And the first person she went and showed was Troy's ex-wife. And I thought that was really odd.
Want to show you something? It's good you're here. I got a new addition today. Ready?
That's nice.
Yeah.
But whatever the reason, Troy doesn't mind.
I think he was very thankful that they became friends and they were close. He wanted everybody to get along.
and he was in the middle. And I think that when they became close, I think Troy kind of thought that he created that.
You know, he thought it was a good thing that she got along with the girls' mother, and I think he still really cared for her a lot, too.
It's actually a good thing that a step-parent and the kid's actual parent can have a good relationship with each other. But it is unusual, I think, odd and a little bit concerning to me that the relationship between Janine and Lisa seems to be closer than the norm.
It is an odd pairing, and they seem very, very close. And so I feel like one of them is trying to either manipulate or create leverage with the other. It's going to be really important that this couple really focus on trying to keep a balance of making everyone happy, or else there's going to be trouble ahead.
For Troy, trouble ahead comes in a bottle.
I mean, he always liked to drink. He did, even when he was in high school, he was like the party organizer. His whole class was like that, you know? It's kind of sad, really.
Alcohol is a convenient solvent for the couple's financial worries.
Hey, baby, let's get another drink for the road.
So I think they both had started drinking more as time went on. I think things at home were just getting magnified with them. He got into the second house, bought another house. That weighed heavily on them financially. And so I think just all of those kind of things got them to drinking more, which then would cause more problems. It just gradually kept getting worse and worse.
The more they drink, the more they fight. And Janine's behavior becomes increasingly irrational.
I think she had two or three accidents with the van. She always says she hit a deer. There are a lot of deer, but did she? Three times? I think it was three times.
She was very extreme. You know, she had her, I would almost describe it as bipolar, manic, very hyper, very agitated at times, to where she would just talk 100 miles an hour and you literally could not follow her. And then there were other times where she didn't hardly talk at all. She'd be on her low.
The rest of the family suspects that diet pills might be causing the mood swings.
That's what you heard, right?
What are you doing?
Can you tell Janine that she shouldn't take
what?
Ephedrine?
Oh, Jesus. I don't believe it. What are you doing?
I'm talking to my mom.
Yeah, I can tell you're talking to your mommy.
She heard that this stuff...
I think it was ephedrine, maybe, that she was taking, a speeder for dieting or to give you energy, and Troy was upset and didn't like her taking that.
The primary ingredient in most of those was ephedra, and she used ephedra a lot and liked it. After ephedra became banned here in Illinois, she would acquire it from the internet.
He called me one night, and he said, Mom, would you tell Janine that she shouldn't be taking ephedrine?
Mom, will you tell her for me?
She just started screaming in the background. You tell your mom it's none of her business what I take. If I want to take it, I'll take it. She can just stay out of it.
She's watching the news way too much.
Janine's mood swings become increasingly dramatic.
I would call her my psycho sister-in-law because of the ups and downs and the manics that she had. And you just never knew from one day to the next what kind of mood you were gonna catch her in. One night she had locked herself in the bathroom with a knife and said that she was just gonna kill herself.
Then Troy would have to go save her, which she knew he would, you know.
Don't push me, I'll do it!
Come on!
It was just a big drama all the time.
I'm sorry.
But with Janine and Troy, psychological drama sometimes turns physical.
You know, there were holes in the walls at the house where things would get punched, and I believe probably my brother might have even, you know, done a hole or two in the walls too, because he would get frustrated, get mad, and you know, that's a thing that guys do. They punch walls when they get mad.
I know that Janine would not hesitate to get physical. She wouldn't hesitate to get physical with her husband or anybody else that crossed her or that she thought was crossing her. In her marriage with Troy, many people noticed Troy with a black eye or with obvious fingernail scratches on his face. I mean, she would just go to the nuclear option in any situation so she could prevail and get her way.
Troy takes it in his stride.
Lori would say, what happened to your eye or what happened to your lip, you know, something like that. And he'd say, Janine did it, and then he'd just laugh.
Not everyone thinks Janine is violent.
I don't see it possible. I mean, she had a temper, but I mean, it wasn't like over the top. It never happened in front of us kids or anything, so.
I knew she was very hot-headed, but I never suspected abuse. I didn't think that Troy would put up with it. I don't know why Troy didn't divorce her.
I think he probably thought he could help her and they would work it out. And he didn't want to go through another divorce and be by himself. And he didn't want to put the girls through it. Or her kids, even, you know, because he loved her kids.
A man can absolutely be a victim of physical spousal abuse every bit as much as a woman can.
It's typically the male on the female. But the fact is, there are a lot of women who do abuse their husbands. It's just that we don't hear about it very often. It tends to be very shameful for the man. It's embarrassing. And so they cover it up or laugh it off, much like we're seeing here.
When I look at Troy and Janine, I see a lot of behavior going all the way back to the beginning of their relationship that seems to be driven by impulsivity, short-term thinking. There are just an awful lot of red flags being raised here.
This is a really volatile relationship, and I'm concerned about where things are going. And I'm worried that this violence could escalate and that maybe Troy one day might retaliate and that things could get really ugly.
Janine and Troy are on the precipice, and one will push the other over the edge.
I'm thinking, first off, that my worst nightmare had come true.
Having an affair with a psych patient, I kind of thought she was pretty psychotic.
Newlyweds Troy and Janine Patton act more like fighters than lovers. Troy's hitting the bottle, while Janine turns to pills. Then, 18 months into the marriage, good news for the Patton family. Troy is promoted from truck driver to salesperson.
Well, I believe it was more money, for one. You know, we all like more money. But it was just the next step up the ladder. So it was just a nice pat on the back for him that you've done a good job. We're happy with what you're doing, and we want you to move on.
I think he was proud, you know, that he had worked his way into this position where they trusted him enough that he was going to be going out meeting customers and setting up accounts and managing accounts. So, yeah, he was very excited about it.
Despite the salary bump and their two incomes, Troy and Janine are still stretched financially.
Troy makes a good living. And I don't know what Janine gets as a certified nurse's aide, but you'd hope they'd be able to have a comfortable life in a town where it's not expensive to live. But they did have some serious money problems.
Janine and financing and her being able to handle money was never good. She was not real good at that. She was not a real organized person. I think it got worse because of the drugs.
Troy's mother, Lola, gets her first glimpse of the couple's financial problems.
Hey,
she's renting Troy's old house, where she receives an electricity bill in Janine's name.
This letter was delivered to my house by mistake.
I think it had a pink paper in it, and you could tell it said final notice.
Look at that. Final notice for a bill we didn't know we had.
One unpaid bill is not the end of the world. But what Troy doesn't realize is that there are many more that Janine has intentionally concealed.
I don't know why Troy's ex-wife would do this, but she was a mail carrier, and she was hiding the mail in Troy's garage in a microwave oven for Janine, so Troy wouldn't see it.
Awesome. Great. So when you come in the morning and drop the mail off, just drop it off in the microwave. So this is where I'm putting my mail.
In the microwave?
Yeah, yeah. It's my filing system.
So he wasn't seeing all these notices coming in that they were behind on this and behind on that.
I don't believe Troy knew hardly anything.
Sure about that?
Yeah, it's totally fine. I really appreciate it.
In my heart of hearts, I really do not believe that he knew what was going on, what she was doing.
Troy and Janine might lose more than just electricity.
He was about to lose the house he'd just asked us to move into. He was about to lose everything he had. He was about to lose both houses, his vehicles, everything.
It says insufficient funds.
And there's no way he would have asked us to come and live in that house if he knew that it was about to be foreclosed on. He wouldn't have did that to me. I know he wouldn't have. There's no way.
Even as Troy becomes aware of the increasingly dire financial situation, he does not press the issue with Janine. He knows how volatile she can become.
You could tell there was like some weird tension in the house.
Kids, you ready to go see Grandma?
And the tension escalates. For Troy's kids, Halloween 2005 is the scariest ever.
My brother and Janine and just his two girls went out to their grandmother's house, and they went in, she stayed in the car, and Troy went in with the girls.
And she must have thought it took too long, and she started laying on the horn.
Honking, you know, getting very agitated and, you know, mad that they weren't back yet.
What's the problem? What's wrong?
What's the problem? I have been waiting for you for 20 minutes. That's the problem.
When they finally got back, she's screaming and yelling at my brother the whole time and takes off driving crazily.
And the girl said she was just screaming at him and driving really fast on that dark road. Cussing and speeding, and they thought they were gonna have a wreck and get killed. The girls were terrified. So I don't know what that was all about. Just she thought he took too long picking him up.
It's really hard to imagine that this family is happy at all.
I would take it a step further, and I would say that this is an abusive household for the children. Letting the violence go on in the presence of children is an abusive thing.
It's like Janine is spinning out of control, and Troy is doing everything he can to try and hold the family together.
Troy's probably realizing at this point that he may have made a huge error in trying to start down this road with Janine in the first place. And sometimes when people have invested a lot, the investment that they've made in something seems so great that trying to go back and reverse it seems harder than just trying to power through it and make it better. Even when it's just throwing good effort after bad, they'll still continue to do it.
There's never a dull moment at the Patton household. Alcohol, drugs, fits of rage, and now a full-blown scandal.
We had heard rumors that she was having an affair with a patient where she worked.
A 32-year-old male psych patient tells a nursing aide that he and Janine are involved sexually.
You know, they were in love, they'd made love. She was gonna have his babies after he got out of there, and they were gonna have a life together. She was gonna leave her husband. And it kind of came to a head on January 24th. Janine had been telling him that they got a cooler, there's gonna be trouble, because he's calling her home and he's, you know, expressing things more outwardly than she liked.
We have to cool it off.
What?
We gotta stop this.
What do you mean?
It's over.
Hey, excuse me. I feel like I should tell you something.
And his response to her telling him, we've got to cool this, is to go out and spill his guts to the staff about everything he and Janine had done.
I just thought you should know.
But when the whole truth comes out, the consequences will be dire.
Janine was yelling. She had been raped by him. She had not slept with him. She was raped.
Mood swings, pills, and unpaid bills make for a difficult year in the Patton household. And to top it off, a male psych patient claims that he and Janine are having an affair. Since the patient has schizophrenia and other mental issues, it's possible that he's delusional.
The psych patient was very distraught, and he was very upset because he believed that their relationship was real.
You were on
honest with me.
I'm always honest with you.
Soon after, the couple's dirty laundry is hung out for all to see.
My mom and Troy went to Lewistown to a bar, and they got into a fight.
The people said that she got agitated and started arguing with Troy.
Yeah, as if I would do something as insane as that, as unethical as that, as if I would do something like that.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past
you're
you.
You're such
okay?
a...
I wouldn't put it past you.
I heard it from another friend that heard all the screaming outside of the bar.
Troy has somehow gotten wind of the allegations against his wife, but Janine claims the sexual encounter was against her will.
Janine was yelling. She had been raped by him. She had not slept with him. She was raped.
You're pushing me to this. I don't want to have to tell you the truth.
Just for once.
He raped me.
Troy couldn't understand why she wouldn't report it to the police or at least report it to her boss. Or why didn't she scream when it supposedly it happened right there in the nursing home?
I think he was finally starting to figure her out.
We don't know what psychological issues this patient has, and so it is possible that the story could be made up. That said, typically, when a person is being accused of something they didn't do, they don't react as hostily as Janine. She becomes so dramatic. And then add to it what we know about her, and it makes me think that there was consensual sex happening.
At this point, I wonder if instead of being an employee at a psychiatric facility, Janine ought to be a patient in a psychiatric facility.
At the bar, the fight turns physical.
She wanted to fight. She was ready to pick a fight with him. You know, Troy, I believe, already had heard about the affair, and so I just felt like she was, you know, hit rock bottom. Didn't know what else to do.
People did see her grabbing a beer out of his hand and later throwing it at him.
Well, eventually, I guess the tavern closed and they both left. So they were taking separate vehicles back home. And actually, neither one of them should have been driving, I'm sure.
Just a few hours later, police are called to Troy and Janine's home on South High Street.
About 3:26 a.m. on January 28th, we received an emergency call of a domestic in progress. The officers were dispatched to the scene.
But when officers arrive, the situation is critical.
The officers were informed that there had been a shotgun discharge at the scene. Of course, they didn't know what they were getting into, but knew that been shots fired.
The police find two shotguns lying on the ground. Near the guns, Troy lies bleeding, and there's another man hovering over him.
Troy was laying there on his back, and another male subject in the hallway with Troy.
The man, a neighbor of Troy and Janine's, is immediately identified as a possible suspect.
They don't know who's who. Everybody's running around.
I think they were still trying to figure out exactly what was going on.
One thing is clear. Troy is still alive, but seriously wounded.
He appeared to be mortally wounded. There was a lot of blood.
I saw an intruder. I saw a shadow. I don't.
At the other time, Janine had exited the house screaming and yelling towards one of the other officers. And he was, you know, trying to comprehend at that time what was going on. And she had made a statement that, you know, she had shot her husband.
She was obviously very distraught.
She was wanting to go inside to be with him. She wanted to go to the hospital to be with him, which we didn't allow her to do at that time. I had one of the officers to set her down in a vehicle there, maybe calm her down some.
Janine, beside herself with grief, gives police a harrowing account of the night's events. She says she had just one thing on her mind.
She locked the house and she was got a gun and she was going to actually take her own life. It all just started weighing on her, I guess, and she was in a very deep depression.
She was contemplating suicide and got a shotgun out of the cabinet, loaded it.
And then she thought in her mind about my little brother and I.
She was contemplating suicide and had changed her mind.
But in the darkness, something catches her eye, and she reacts without thinking.
She saw a shadow, and she thought it was an intruder. And so she just turned and shot.
It's only when she turns on the lights that Janine realizes the intruder is her husband, Troy.
It was an accident. She didn't realize who it was.
She told me that she doesn't remember pulling the trigger. She doesn't remember hearing the gun go off or anything. That after she remembers seeing the shadow, the only thing she remembers crawling over to the body and then realizing what happened. She was absolutely devastated. I can't even imagine how she felt.
The phone rang. Of course, at 3:30 in the morning, you know, something's wrong. And I answered the phone, and it was Lori. She was just screaming and crying. She said, "Mom, you gotta get to the hospital. Janine shot Troy."
I just hoped and prayed that he could make it. Now, I didn't really know what the heck was going on. I was petrified, really. I didn't know where he was hit, nothing. And it took quite a while before I did know at the hospital. And when the doctor came in and told us,
I had no idea what to expect, whether he was still going to be alive or not. It took a long time before we found out.
Finally, a doctor came in and he just looked at me and he said, "I don't see any way for your son to live through this night." He said, "Your lives have just changed forever."
2 hours after police are called to the Patton home, Troy Evan Patton is pronounced dead. He's 34 years old.
Here's my brother, best friend.
I was with my father and my stepmom. I got home and they sat me down and they said, "Brady, we have to talk to you about something." They told me that my mom had accidentally shot and Troy was dead. At the time, I just thought I would go to bed and wake up and everything would just go back to normal and I would just go to school and then my mom would come and pick me up and we just have a normal life again.
It seems that Troy's death is just a tragic accident. Perhaps Janine saw the neighbor and unfamiliar presence and reacted out of self-defense.
Obviously, violence has taken place. Whether it's accidental or intentional at that time, we don't know. But we do assume the worst.
You won't understand!
Until police piece together the final days of a marriage that no one wants to believe would end in murder.
Janine signed those papers. Troy didn't.
All of that together just came to a boiling point that night.
Thirty-four-year-old Troy Patton is dead, shot in the head by his wife, Janine. Janine claims she mistook Troy for a burglar, and when police storm the house, they find a man looming over Troy. They soon figure out why the neighbor was in the house.
He was trying to perform CPR for him. The neighbor who was assisting Troy continued the CPR to the ambulance and paramedics arrived.
Janine is adamant. After considering suicide, she then shot Troy by accident.
As a forensic psychologist, I can tell you that one of the most common lies that people tell when they commit murder is that it was a suicide gone wrong. It's very implausible most of the time. In this case, it's hard to commit suicide with a shotgun. And if you live with somebody, whether your marriage is happy or not, and you realize that there's another figure in the house, you don't jump to the conclusion that it's a stranger and they're out to get you and you need to defend yourself with lethal gun violence. You would typically at least check and see if it's not the person with whom you live first.
When we look at Janine's past behaviors, she tends to try and hurt him. She isn't somebody that we see cutting herself when she's angry. This is a classic example of where there's smoke, there's fire.
As witnesses start to come forward, the cops start to figure out how this terrible night unfolded.
The female that lived next door and two male friends of hers heard the arguing between Troy and Janine. They heard some kind of domestic issue going on.
You won't understand.
She spoke to her two friends and they decided to go outside, and kind of, in her words was, it would be fun to watch this incident unfold.
I want you away from my house!
In fact, neighbors have front row seats to the entire scene from the safety of their own porches.
Face. You get out!
You are never gonna see me again. I hate you.
I've given you...
Good!
Get away.
Pack your bags and get the hell out of my house!
She goes into the house and locks him out.
She tried to load the first shotgun. She couldn't get it loaded, so she threw it in the floor and took out the second one and loaded it. Then she went to the deck and pointed the gun out the door at Troy.
The neighbors can see this, too. And they see Troy put his hands up, and they see her retreat back into the house.
Janine?
Perhaps Troy believes Janine might actually kill herself. Whatever his reason, he does not run away. In fact, quite the reverse.
Then they see Troy trying to get into the house. He kicks the door three or four times before it breaks open.
Shortly thereafter, they heard a loud bang.
It's the shot that will prove fatal for Troy Patton.
And then when she ran out screaming that she'd shot him, they entered the residence and began to try to assist Troy.
Oh my God, come here now.
Only then does one of the neighbors call 911.
I think he's dead. Oh, come, hurry!
With Janine in custody, investigators start to uncover the precarious state of this marriage and Janine's delicate state of mind. Blood work reveals a smorgasbord of illegal drugs in Janine's system.
Janine's samples tested positive for the presence of cocaine, methamphetamine, and amphetamine.
I don't know if I would consider it a substantial drug problem, but obviously she had been involved in using illegal drugs.
Police also suspect the diet pills had a serious impact on her mental state.
It gave her energy. It made her more upbeat. Unfortunately, I feel it would feed her aggression because she's taken more than probably what the recommended dosage is.
Janine, what the hell is this? We talked about this.
I don't have to explain anything to you.
If you're abusing ephedra, it's not a big jump to abusing cocaine or abusing methamphetamine, because you're thinking that's going to work even better.
It's suspected that Janine drained the family finances in order to fuel her drug habit.
I could only assume what I had already suspected, that, you know, all the money that she was spending and why she never had any money was being spent on drugs.
People knew Janine as someone who liked cocaine and liked methamphetamine, and that's expensive.
In the months leading up to the murder, $22,000 was withdrawn from Troy's retirement savings account.
I know that my brother was borrowing from his 401k retirement plan. When we were going through the house, I found a lot of the paperwork for that. I found the ones that I knew were obviously in his handwriting, because I knew his handwriting. And then I came across some that were not in his handwriting. And so then I knew that, oh my gosh, she's, you know, forging loan documents to borrow from my brother's 401k retirement, and he didn't even know about it.
Janine signed those papers. Troy didn't. There was $248,000 there. People had been murdered for a whole lot less than that.
The only bill Janine had paid in months was Troy's life insurance premium, paid the morning before Troy's death.
She came back to town the day before she shot him on her lunch hour and paid his life insurance with a check that wound up bouncing. But that's the only thing she paid.
Janine had motive and opportunity. She pleads guilty to first-degree murder, and Troy Patton's death becomes infamous in this small, peaceful Illinois town.
It was the first homicide in more than 10 or 12 years.
Really, a well-known and universally liked figure was suddenly taken out of the picture. Everybody liked Troy. Nobody could believe this happened to him.
Troy's funeral is held on what would have been the couple's second anniversary.
It's a time for everybody to come through the line, and it's really kind of the beginning of healing process. You know, and I just remember standing there amazed at over 900 people in our little town came through there.
In a town of just over 3,500 people, 983 turn up to give their condolences.
It was a blessing to see how many people Troy had touched, how many people cared about him, and that they came to let us know how much they cared about him.
Janine is sentenced to 30 years in prison. The courtroom is packed, and Janine wears a bulletproof vest.
Everybody loved him, and they were angry.
30 years was not enough for her. It should have been life for her. The life that she took and the family she destroyed, 30 years is not enough.
To this day, Janine's daughter Brady truly believes her mother did not mean to shoot Troy.
I want people to know that she's not some crazy person that has no heart. She's loving. She has the biggest heart out of anybody that I know. I think she loved him more than absolutely anything.
Troy's family members and friends maintain it was cold-blooded murder.
The affair, the finances, all of that together just, came to a boiling point that night.
Troy was full of life, and the only enemy that he ever came in contact with was the one that he married.
I just want the truth. I don't want him forgotten. I want the truth out there of what happened.